Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers. In the words of Scripture, the time has come to set aside childish things.
I humbly ask this in the name of the one who changed my life, Yeshua, Isa, Jesus, Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father.
O God of our many understandings, we pray that you will bless us with tears, with anger. Bless us with discomfort.
Let us take that power back to our homes, our churches, our temples, our mosques, wherever we seek your will.
That's never happened before. Right before the mic opens, the terrible tickle in the throat. All right, we'll make it through Friday.
Sounds to me like you need a Wilcachino. And I think Todd will explain to you what that is here in a minute. He's having a drink of water, and his eyes are red. He's watering up. Oh, he's back. There he is.
No, I'm dying, actually, I think. You know what it is? On Friday, I decided to try something different, some mango nectar. I think I'm allergic. I think my throat is closing up. So you guys need to go get the, what do they call that? The antidote, whatever it is. Maybe we'll make it through Friday's program. Maybe not. It's Friday on Issues Etc. January the 23rd. Listener email is the first part of the program. Luckily, Jeff gets to do most of the talking during listener email as he reads your email and we try and respond as best as we can. Right after listener email, it's Issues Etc. blog of the week. And then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Great audio from this week's Issues Etc. And we'll play it all for you, give you a chance to vote for what you think ought to be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. A little bit later in the program, hour two of the program, all dedicated to a conversation. Actually, not. We're going to spend a little time with Bill McKeever at the beginning of it. From Mormonism Research Ministry, talking about a front-page story in yesterday's St. Louis Post-Dispatch about Mormons stockpiling food. They're not only concerned about a bad economy or the end of the world, but this comes by way of order from the prophet. And then we'll conclude our two-part series on the Lord's Supper with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House. The Lord's Supper, we'll talk about some varying views of the Lord's Supper. Believe it or not, the stream of the Reformation split in the 16th century into several directions over the issue of the Lord's Supper. We'll talk about that in about an hour here on the program. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. When we play Issues Etc., a soundbite of the week in about a half hour, we're going to be giving away what we call the Lutheran Public Radio Bundle Package to the best caller, best emailer during Soundbite of the Week. That includes an Issues Etc. pen, an Issues Etc. travel mug, and an I Have Issues t-shirt. Soundbite of the Week coming up in a half hour. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talk back at issuesetc.org. A lot of people have been using that email address. What do they have to say, Jeff?
Lots of email this week regarding inaugural activities, related activities. Let's begin with Jamin in Murrieta, California. While watching the inauguration, I was struck with the thought that the crowd there on the mall watching is about equal to the number of abortions that will happen this year in the U.S. alone. Imagine the horror, public outcry, and lasting effect if all those people were killed, and yet an equivalent population will die masked behind a veil of right to privacy. So sad. To quote our new president, the time has come to reaffirm our enduring spirit, to choose our better history, to carry forward that precious gift, that noble idea, passed on from generation to generation, the God-given promise that all are equal, all are free, and all deserve a chance to pursue their full measure of happiness. That's Jamin in Murrieta, California.
That's brilliant, too, and thank you very much for that. Said better than I ever could. I didn't think of it that way, but I think I really should have. Looking out on what they were estimating at somewhere near 2 million people assembled for the inauguration ceremony. Yeah, that's about right for a year's quota of abortions. A very sad commentary. And the saddest thing about it is the man, as brilliant and I think as well-meaning as he is, who took the oath of office on Tuesday this week, the saddest thing is as smart and as well-meaning as I think he is, he's just dead wrong when it comes to the unborn and about their protections. A man who will champion the protection of those who need America's protection most, in every other respect, fails to see those who actually do need it most, the unborn.
Some more inaugural-related email. Chris says, I listen to your daily podcast as much as I can. As a former United Methodist, a denomination that seems to be blown by any wind, I find your programs very thought-provoking. In fact, I'm considering visiting a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation in my area with my family because of your program. My family and I are looking for a new church home. Chris writes, your program of January 21st included a segment about the prayer Gene Robertson offered at a pre-inaugural concert for our current president. I wonder if you saw the prayer service at the National Cathedral this morning. Perhaps some clips are available on YouTube or C-SPAN. The female minister who offered the sermon had some points you may find interesting. That's from Chris.
I think we'll review that sermon coming up next week. I know that we were recording it earlier today, and we're going to just do a little sermon review of the National Cathedral prayer service attended by the president. Do a little sermon review of that sermon. It's a great suggestion. I didn't get a chance to see it. And what I saw of the whole Lincoln Memorial thing, it looked mostly like a rally, a political rally or a concert, begun with a prayer to the God of our many understandings.
No, this is a different event. He's talking about the National Cathedral event. He's talking about an actual service in the National Cathedral. Gene Robinson's was an outside, I don't know what that was. If you saw the video, he wasn't inside the National Cathedral. And he's asking, there was the head of the United Church of the Disciples of Christ, was the female minister.
No, I mentioned that. I said we're going to review the sermon next week. Two different events. Yeah.
And we've downloaded or recorded that sermon, and we're ready to respond to it. Yeah, lots of interesting things in that one. One more email on the inauguration. Dave from West Virginia. I haven't heard all the issues, et cetera, coverage of the inauguration. Hopefully somebody brought it up already. Did anyone else feel attacked and offended when Dr. Joseph Lowery prayed that white would do what is right? In his closing prayer, he played the white man as the villain. What a racist attitude. Oh, wait, I forgot. He can't be a racist because he is not white. I, on the other hand, since I am white, am a racist. Once again, those who publicly say they are tolerant show themselves to be the least tolerant. Those who say they are open-minded show themselves to reject truth out of hand. Those who claim to embrace all people act in such a way as to alienate and offend countless fellow citizens who act on their desire to treat others with equity and justice. That's from Dave in West Virginia.
Well, I think everyone who was watching the benediction that Joseph Lowery gave when it came to the end saw, I think everyone, conscientious observer, said, you know, he really didn't have to take a cheap shot at the end. There is, after all, the man standing behind him, having just put his hand on the Bible, of an African-American president, newly installed. It's not like, there is such a thing as being a sore winner. And I think it would have been far better for him to have heralded the tremendous strides that African Americans and other minorities have made in his 80-some-odd years. I think it would have been far better to herald the strides that they've made and how much has changed, rather than simply taking a cheap shot at the white guy at the very end. I don't know how offended I was. I didn't find it terribly surprising. You know, we were talking about this before we came on the air, Jeff, and it's a sad commentary. When you heard Rick Warren pray at the beginning, what was the tenor of his prayer? Beyond being, I think, relieved that we'd come to the end of a long national crisis that we call an election. Forgive us. When we mistreat one another, when we think we are great on our and standing on our own 2 feet, forgive us. He emphasized forgiveness for several sins that apply to all people. that we all engage in. And he pled for forgiveness on behalf of the nation. A very appropriate prayer at any time. And you, when the Reverend Lowry stood up, there was finger pointing. There's a huge difference in the application of God's law here, where the law strikes everyone equally, or where you simply single out people, these people are good and these people are bad. Minorities, good. White guy, bad. A huge difference there. One is a pastoral approach, a Christian pastoral approach, and the other one is just grandstanding. That's how you make Pharisees, by the way, folks. You make Pharisees by taking the law and applying it to the other guy, and in this case, in Lowry's case, the easy target, the easiest target of all nowadays.
All right, let's take a quick one for the break. John in Akron, Ohio. Todd, just curious, which Bible version do you usually use for your devotions, studies, etc.?
Oh, well, I used to use the New American Standard Version because I think it's largely recognized as the most accurate, although it's a little wooden in its translation. And lately, of late, I've used one that I've come to respect very highly, and that's the new, it's not new, it's new in the sense of it's a new translation. It's the English Standard Version, the ESV, which is both highly accurate and very readable. Gave up a long time ago on things like the NIV, and the RSV has its weaknesses. Although the New King James, I'll tell you what, there's very few better translations. If you want one that still has the beauty of that old language, the New King James isn't bad either. But it's the ESV for me nowadays. Go with any one of them. They're all pretty good, but the ESV, I think, covers most of the bases, and it doesn't do the interpretation for you. Be right back.
Write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Tyson Bibb, Diane Ahern, Larry and Bonnie Nowak, Lori Moses, Sari Bussard, Pastor Don Coulter, Peter Lang, Christopher Volsler, Charles Bussenberg, and Sue Abernathy. Thanks for your support.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
You use the term stuck in the 7th century, which is exactly what it is. Islam is a 7th century phenomenon.
Almighty God.
O God of our many understandings.
God of our weary years.
I humbly ask this in the name of the one who changed my life. Yeshua, Isa, Jesus.
Appeals to privacy, choice, trusting women to make their own decisions, religious freedom, not forcing your morality, back alley abortions, all of these assume the unborn are not human.
We just don't really believe it's sin anymore, even for adults, let alone for small children. So there is indeed an age of accountability in the Bible. It's just an age that begins, at least from our birth.
Just a little bit of the sound bites we're going to be playing for you here in about 10 minutes on the program when we play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the week. We're going through some listener email before Jeff gets to the next one. We had some guests recently. Last night, Jeff was kind enough to stick around for, they call it a Tiger Scouts. I thought they were Cub Scouts. Now they're Tiger Scouts. They look like Cub Scouts to me. Came over, a group of young men came over, got a chance to play in the studio a little bit, make a little recordings, write on the walls, all the things that the young men do. And Jeff was nice enough to be den leader for a moment. And then earlier today, we had Ben and Tamara and Connor Akri stop in all the way from Kansas on their way through to visit some relatives. They stopped by, were very kind, delivering a 4-pack of Chelada and I think a 12-pack of Sam Adams Boston Lager, second best beverage on earth.
Yeah, they came from Topeka. And then yesterday we had a listener from the San Mateo, California, outside of San Francisco area. Dan Hahn was in here yesterday. It's just like a bevy of activity around here.
And we never get any visitors.
I know.
Never. It's always just the three of us staring at each other or at the wall, and suddenly it's like Grand Central Station.
For the sake of accuracy, it was what, Den's 5 and 6 Tiger Scouts from PAC 39 at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville. They were, great group of kids.
You notice how I left right before they arrived? How I just said, I got to go, and I left Jeff here all by himself. I'm usually the last one to leave for the most part, but I left Jeff by himself last night. He can handle it. He's got 4 kids at home. You call Jeff at home, it's nothing but screaming and mayhem. It was just like that here last night.
No, they were great kids. It was great to have them. It was our first official tour here at LPR. It was neat to have them.
Didn't take long, did it?
What's that?
It didn't take long.
Yeah, there's not a lot to do. Not a lot to do. You know, you talk about favorite Bible translation. I saw on Pastor Paul McCain's blog, they've got the Lutheran Study Bible. New Lutheran Study Bible is going to be coming out here in the near future. It's one of our books of the month.
And it's the ESV translation, isn't it?
I believe so.
It's not NIV. I know that. Here's my problem with the NIV, folks, just so people can understand. There's a very basic problem with the NIV translation. It does your work for you. The translators come to difficult passages, difficult words, difficult constructions, and they say, well, you know, if we just leave it the way it is in the text, it's only going to confuse people. And so they find a way of doing your work for you, and sometimes the conclusions they draw are absolutely wrong, but they don't leave the messier parts there for the English reader to struggle with and to interpret. And a Bible translation ought to walk that fine line between making the original text clear in our language, but also not doing too much of the work for us. So my problem with the NIV, the ESV seems to avoid that for the most part. What's next?
This is Wayne in Watertown, Wisconsin. I just wanted you to know that you did exceptionally well with the Real Presence program. Pastor Tim Pauls, your guest, was well-informed. Your questions were right on target. I don't know if you realize how valuable a service you are performing, but be advised, I greatly appreciate what your ministry is accomplishing. Just about every time I hit the road, you are providing continuing education for me on my iPod. This is greatly appreciated. I've been in ministry for 34 years. Before that, I was a college-level debate coach and a judge and a speech teacher. I know good argumentation when I hear it, and I know great communication and ministry when I hear it. All of that describes you and your team. Thanks, Pastor Wayne in Watertown, Wisconsin.
Wow, high praise, and thank you very much. We do love our on-demand listeners. I mean, they told me when I first started doing radio, you got to pick a listener and keep them in mind when you're talking on the microphone. You're not talking to a large group of people. I was told you're talking to one person. You got to have that person in mind. It's good advice. And the person I have in mind is our on-demand listener. I don't know what they look like, but they have earbuds in their ears, and they're mowing the grass, they're, you know, cleaning out the toilets, they're sweeping up the floor, they're taking their kids to work, they're running on the treadmill. That's our on-demand listener, and we do so love him or her, him and her.
I don't know. Do you think we got many of them running on a treadmill?
Well, that's where I do a lot of my listening. I mean, okay. Not to this show, but to other shows is on the treadmill. But Probably not.
He's lost a lot of weight, folks, between the treadmill and the Wilcachino, drinking Wilcachinos. Tell the audience what the Wilcachino. Folks, if we start hurting for money around here, we're going to market the Wilcachino. Tell them what it is.
Well, I stumbled on the Wilcachino. It was one of those kind of accidents of science. When Jeff had made some coffee, and Jeff's coffee is very unpalatable, it had to have something to bolster it. And the only thing around was a hot chocolate mix. And I know people do this all the time, but I have the tendency to discover things that other people invented a long time ago. And I thought of the hybrid car about a year and a half after they produced the first one. It just came to me. Anyway, I mixed a lot of the cocoa mix into the coffee, and I invented the Wilcachino, and it's delicious. It's marvelous.
Is it half and half, half coffee, half
hot
chocolate?
It's a full cup of coffee with two scoops of hot chocolate mix in there, and
any particular brand that you favor? Or?
Whatever you got back in the cabinet, whatever it is. And it's really good if you have the kind with the tiny little marshmallows.
Well, yes, I was going to say, would it be better with marshmallow or maybe some cinnamon? Or you know, what can you do to flavor it up a bit?
You know, I'm not fancy. I wouldn't put the cinnamon in it. Just the chocolate and the coffee. Good stuff.
But now, while it has been invented before, we've got to get the trademark, which we're having problems right now getting our own trademark. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah. Thanks very much to LCMS Inc.
Right. But we need to hurry up and trademark Wilcachino before somebody gets it.
I don't know.
LCMS Inc. might go and try to register Wilcachino now because they're fighting us diligently over the Issues Etc. trademark that they canceled and didn't want. So you never know. They might be listening right now. It's like, get on the phone, attorney. Trademark Wilcachino.
Yes, Mr. Lawyer, I'd like
yesterday.
Yes, we need that. We need that Wilcachino, and find about Wilkin. I think we can trademark that name too.
Here's a great email, Joe in Seymour, Indiana. He actually runs a liquor store in Seymour, Indiana.
Awesome.
Joe says, could you please pass on to Pastor Wilkin that while I do not personally like Bud Chelada, some of my customers do. I'll bet they're female.
That doesn't surprise me.
Joe, email us back and let us know if they're male or female. He is not alone in his choice of favorite tomato, clam juice, beer cocktails. However, an overwhelming majority prefer Bud Light Chelada. There are others out there with bizarre tastes. I have an employee who mixes Cave Creek chili beer with homemade tomato juice. She thinks Chelada is tolerable, but prefers the added zing of chili pepper. Keep up the good work, gentlemen, and God bless. That's Joe in Seymour, Indiana.
That's a brilliant idea. I'll tell you who's buying Chelada at his liquor store. It's all the bikers. Big, strapping, manly, virile bikers walking in. Where's the Chelada? Give me my Chelada. Just motorcycle after motorcycle lined up outside his liquor store of the manliest men on earth.
I read somewhere on the web the other day that Chelada has become the official drink sponsor of the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I think you're right, Todd.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Yep. Hey. Well, here's an email from Villa in Finland. How do Finnish people talk? Should I do a Finnish accent? Should I even try to?
Okay. It would only be insulting.
Okay, this has to do with the bodily presence of the Lord's Supper. First of all, I'd like to apologize for my humble English, but my mother tongue is not English, but Finnish. I listened to your program about the Christ's bodily presence in the Lord's Supper. In my opinion, there is a major argument missing, for it is an explicitly Lutheran argument. It is about the distinction of law and gospel. We are forgiven only through the real blood and body of Jesus Christ. If there is no real presence, there is no forgiveness through the Lord's Supper. But if there is no forgiveness, the Lord's Supper belongs not to the gospel side, but to the law side. So everyone who does not believe in the real presence has to admit that he has two additional commandments to the ten, namely Commandment 11, thou shalt baptize, Commandment 12, thou shalt hold communion. In other words, you would have to say, we do not know what the benefits of Holy Communion are, but we should do it at least from time to time because Jesus told us to do so. Maybe you got the ideas of this argument and you can explain it in a more understandable English. That's from Villa in Finland.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Finland. I think he said it very well. I think that's a beautiful summary. And I think this runs through much of our conversation. Perhaps it will as well with Pastor Paul McCain a little later in the program when we return to the subject of the Lord's Supper. Look, it's either going to be law or gospel. It's either going to be Christ and the gifts that he gives you through his death and resurrection, gospel, or the Lord's Supper is going to be turned into a rule, an ordinance, an observation that you have to keep. One is Christ's work for you, wherein he bestows forgiveness, life, and salvation. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? The other is something you do for God, and you never really know if you're doing it often enough, well enough, or exactly the way it's supposed to be done. And I observed this a long time ago. Among those who deny the bodily presence of Christ in the sacrament, among them, you will find sticklers for the details. They will deny what Christ gives in the Lord's Supper, but they will reenact the Last Supper down to the smallest detail. I even watched one time on television when it was some famous televangelist and his whole staff were there, and they actually kind of took the seats where Jesus and the 12 disciples were in the Da Vinci painting. They were meticulously made sure they had the right kind of bread. They were breaking it. They had the right kind of cups with in their case, grape juice. Why they violate that particular part of the ordinance, I don't know. But they were so careful to reenact the Passover and yet deny the essence of the new covenant that Christ gives there. Be right back.
Communication's never been as easy as today. Would make me happy when you've gone so far away. Send me an email that says I love you.
We're not funded by LCMS Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A Planned Parenthood employee in Cincinnati was involved in a lawsuit charging her with helping to cover up the rape and pregnancy of a 16-year-old girl. The assailant was a girl's own father. Evidence alleges Julia Piercy, as a Planned Parenthood supervisor, adopted a don't ask, don't tell policy regarding sexual abuse of minors, a violation of state law in Ohio. As a result, the girl aborted her baby and went back to her father, who had sexually assaulted her. Now, Julia Piercy has turned up at a Planned Parenthood in Boise, and get this, as director of education and training. Is she teaching employees to ignore the law and put young girls in harm's way? This isn't an isolated incident. All over the country, Planned Parenthood's getting caught in this act.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Chuck Poole, Eugene Bergman, Ruth Rubert Burke, Regina Arndt, Sherry Hummel, Pastor David Danke, Jeff Arndt, Deanna Shope, R. Stork, and Brian Romberg. Thanks for your support.